know the words? Let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Here I go.
Read about that in the New York fucking Post.
Hello.
You ready for a slice of this hot steaming pussy?
A slice of what?
Sorry.
Coochie?
You know that meme, is it cake? You know, do you know that meme, is it cake?
I was about to say, I'm just like a shot in the face.
Can we start a trend on the TikTok that's, is it microplastics? Like where we just mold microplastics into different objects and then cut into it and prove if it's microplastics or not?
Toys? Isn't that what just like toys are? Just molds of plastic?
You're right.
Isn't that what slime is? Okay, now that we're on Patreon, anyone that's into slime, sorry, complicit mama, that shit is also a
have you ever met a slime person?
Not in person, thank
my
god.
My cousin sometimes who's oh like the kids are nine screwed.
I would have been slime as a kid. Absolutely.
Makes slime on FaceTime with me.
I would be doing that if I was a kid.
One of them plays generation. Fortnite in the back and the other one's like playing making
it sounds
slime.
Amazing honestly.
And then it's like playing with the slime and I'll be like, what do you get out of that? And they'll tell me that it's fun. And I'm like, but what if it gets dirty? Isn't it kind of gross?
Oh,
and they're
away.
Like, well, then you throw it away and you make more.
Yep. It's just epoxy.
So we have a collection of headlines we're going to ignore this week. Mm. Much to the dismay, I will say, of literally the entire server who is going to scream in their cars. I already know at least one of them is going to pull over and place a curse on me for skipping these headlines. But I just need you all to know, emotionally speaking,
yeah,
I'm not going to dox my place of work. But I have dealt with too much this week. I cannot handle this, okay?
It's literally not the time.
Adam Levine and wife Beauty Prinsloo are all smiles as they break cover for the first time since model 23 claimed she had an affair with the singer and two more accused him of sending flirty messages. He admitted to crossing the line, Daily Mail. Ignoring. Emily Ratajkowski weighs in on Adam Levine's scandal and Sebastian Bear McLeod's split. Skipping. Summer Stroh apologizes to Adam Levine's wife, Bahati Prinsloo, for her alleged affair. Skipping. Madonna warned Frankie Grande that his throuple wouldn't end well. Skipping. Kim Kardashian gusses over Kendall Jenner's ex Harry Styles performance in Don't Worry, Darling, quote, he's so good. Skipping. Now, on to the real news. 50 Cent is suing a med spa, claiming that he did not get a penis procedure. Dickhead. TMZ.
So wait, he did or didn't get
it? 50 Cent says that a med spa in Florida is illegally using his likeness to promote penis enhancement procedures, which it is also inferring through the marketing that he received at that med spa. Okay, click on the photo. It's kind of great. So this is one of those things where you're like, but what were you doing there? So 50 Cent is saying that Angela Kogan, a plastic surgeon, and her business, Perfection Plastic Surgery and Med Spa, has been circulating an old photo of him and Kogan together, making it look like he went under the knife to enhance his penis, specifically because the photo that they took when he visited the clinic in Florida has been used in marketing. Like in the Shade Room, when Kogan did a story about the rise of male sexual enhancement procedures and used the pic of herself with 50 Cent. The singer and rapper also says that the image pops up basically anytime an article is posted or shared online about penis enhancement surgeries and celebrities. So he's like, they've basically Streisand affected him into the conversation about penis enhancement surgeries. So,
oh, I love it. That's
this story funny. Was originally published, and then Kogan's attorney, Darren Heitner, got back to TMZ with an update the next day, telling us that 50 Cent did receive services from the med spa and agreed to take a photo with Kogan rather than pay for his services. So, like, he basically got something and then used the photo basically to get out of
pain.
But
it's definitely not for dick enhancement.
But he's claiming that it's not for dick enhancement, but the attorney won't say. So the attorney is saying,
and there's no physical changes we've seen on 50 Cent's body otherwise.
The attorney is saying, well, my client is just promoting the people that visit her clinic, which this was a quote-unquote marketing image that 50 provided
it was just a
to
job.
Get out of paying. So he technically did kind of set himself up for failure by
admitting he still got a procedure.
Getting Botox at a random clinic in Florida and not paying for it, and instead just taking an Instagram pic with the surgeon who gave him
Which,
this
like,
Botox.
They have a right to use at that point if you really signed away.
Yeah, I mean, the payment. Again, it's shiesty, but also, like, what 50 did was also kind of shady. So, like, it just seems like shady people beefing. You know what I mean?
I love it.
But shout out to penis enhancement surgeries. So, Real Housewives, this is also from TMZ, Diana Jenkins' request to unmask Meta posters has been granted by a judge. So Meta, the parent company of Facebook, is now going to be subpoenaed by Diana Jenkins in a fact-finding mission to discover who exactly was posting racist messages on Garcelle's son's Instagram account.
This is like the worst thing to come out of Beverly
so
Hills.
So the judge in the case granted a order to subpoena Meta, the parent company of Facebook. TMZ obtained court docs showing that the judge will allow the subpoena to proceed and use it to seek info on all accounts that recently sent hateful and threatening messages to Garcelle's 14-year-old son, Jax. In court last week, they claimed the real culprit created multiple Instagram accounts, potentially over 20 of them, to pull off the nasty campaign. And the judge will then grant permission to issue these subpoenas, like we said. The ball then is basically in Meta's court. So Meta probably will not respond to this subpoena, knowing Meta.
Right.
They're going to get this and be like, who the fuck is Diana Jenkins, right? Who the fuck is Diana Jenkins? But the effort that she has gone through in this publicity stunt is going to continue. So whatever she hoped to gain out of this, it's still in motion, because
I can't believe it's actually kind of somewhat happening.
Now, I do
kind
not
of somewhat
I
sort
do,
of
I do not I do not I do not want to call down wrath on this podcast, but I do just want to say it will be beyond bizarre if Diana Jenkins, one season wonder of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills,
clearly
unmasks these Instagram commenters as employees of, shall we say, the pink print.
You?
Which was the rumor on the blogs.
That would be,
like,
fucking insane.
Like, that would...
That wouldn't earth itself. Like, it would be kept from the public because of the implications.
Like, we'd never hear from Diana Jenkins again. Like, you know what? Actually, I hope she does find that out so that they bury her, right? Like, let them fight. Let them fight.
They can get to Hawaii.
Okay. John Hamm gave a quote this week
to
Howard Stern saying that
These
Erica Jane should give the earrings back.
John Hamm was on
the Howard
that
Stern
man's
show
talking about this woman.
Howard Stern that he thinks Erica Jane should give the earrings back.
I'm so sorry.
We are never going to escape this earrings conversation. You're not watching the show, but literally for weeks now, it's been about the earrings. So you just want to shake her and go, honey, they were never yours. Give them back. Now, why are you calling her honey, John Hamm?
It's because she's a Southern Belle. Remember when she used to be all like, I'm a hardcore Southern bitch.
I'm a Southern Belle. Okay, so, well, considering the value of the earrings, which Erica proceeded to wear during the most recent episode, yada, 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 John Hamm said, quote, and I can't quite get, are they $750,000 earrings or is it $750,000 per earring? He also says that regardless, he believes she should, quote, give them back.
I think it was $750 for both of them, and then they're now worth like $1.4 million. I remember, if I remember
now,
correctly.
Do you want the teaser about our deep dive?
Oh, okay, yeah, this makes sense. That's what I thought it was going to go.
No,
absolutely,
this is much weirder than you think it is.
I have no idea what you're going to talk about.
I'm going to read you the Us Weekly headline: Candace Cameron Bure announces first Great American Family Christmas movie after Hallmark exit. Everything to know.
Is Great American
family
a channel?
Look up Great American Family Channel.
Okay. I'm thinking of another channel, funny enough.
This is directly from Us Weekly. The Full House alum Candace Cameron Bure announced on Tuesday, September 13th, that the new project titled A Christmas Present will premiere in November as part of Great American Family's Great American Christmas lineup. A Christmas Present is about slowing down enough to recognize what's right in front of our eyes, said Bure. The hustle and bustle of the Christmas season will arrive before we know it, but it's through the quiet moments that we hear God speak to us, directing our path to what's most important. In the upcoming film, she is set to play Maggie Larson, quote, an overly scheduled real estate agent and mom. Okay. She's a busy real estate agent and mom who decides to spend Christmas with her widowed brother and his daughter. Oh, it's also about incest. While staying with her siblings, however, the busy and stressed Maggie has to relearn, quote, the reason for the season. It's Folgers commercial 2.0, but with more widows. So... A That's Christmas what it needed. Present will be a part of Great American Family's holiday franchise, Great American Christmas, which returns on Saturday, October 21st. The network will premiere the holiday movies every Saturday and Sunday and every Christmas movies all day and night through the end of 2022. Now, this is the deep dive. Are you ready for this?
No, I'm not, actually.
Quote, earlier this year, Bure shocked fans when she left her longtime home at Hallmark and signed a deal with Great American Media. According to an April press release, the Full House veteran is set to develop, produce, and star in movies and TV shows across Great American Family and Great American Living, and will take on a prominent executive role at the company to oversee and curate programming for the networks as a whole.
Which, wow. So, like, this is, like, a new generation kind of thing. Like, by the way, going to the Great American Living and Great American Family channel pages is very much giving, like, Christian nationalism, white supremacy. Like, it's, like, exclusively, like, terrible movies about middle-aged white people doing really corny romantic comedy things. And then... reruns of old 60s TV shows, specifically the ones that only show white people, like Pretty Bunch and Full House and what have you.
So, are you ready for this?
It's giving really bad nasty vibes.
Are you ready for this?
No, I'm not, actually. So, what are you about to show me?
Okay, so Thomas Hicks is an American private equity investor and sports team owner living in Dallas. He is estimated to be at least $1 billion in net worth, but has floated somewhere between that and $800 million. He co-founded the investment firm Hicks, Muse, Tate & First, as well as owning the club Liverpool FC. He also has formed companies that previously owned the Texas Rangers, the Dallas Stars, and the Mesquite Championship Rodeo, but in 2010 was forced to sell the Rangers and Liverpool to satisfy creditors after he went into bankruptcy. Now, Great American Media is a newly formed, by the way, company.
It started
in June 7th, 2021, after Great American Country and Ride TV were purchased and then merged from Discovery Inc. So Discovery Inc. owned Great American Country and this other channel, Ride TV. And basically, the Great American Media LLC, owned by Bill Abbott and Tom Hicks, Bill Abbott being a former Hallmark Channel person, bought the companies out from under Discovery and merged them. Mama. Now, they say that GAC Media will be a planned service launching in September that would carry short-form programming featuring GAC talent and personalities and feature online forums allowing users to interact with them. It would be free and ad-supported, but GAC did not rule out a premium tier in the future. In 2022, GAC launched Great American Ventures on Xumo, which carries lifestyle and entertainment programming oriented towards, quote, Americana.
I mean, it's giving Americana. That's
now, Great American Family, formerly Great American Country, was basically devoted to, quote unquote, Texas lifestyle, so you get what that's all about.
That's exactly what
like,
it is.
Right? Like, you get what's all. It's a family-oriented channel with movies emphasizing relationships and the emotional connections related to holiday seasons and occasions, and programming reflecting American culture, lifestyle, and heritage.
Heritage. No, that's what I'm saying. Christian nationalism. Like Christian white supremacist nationalism.
Yep.
That's what's good. So, we love the patriarchy. We love
we
Santa.
We are going to be doing a deep, deep, deep dive into Great American Family because I feel like
Mom, the propaganda.
There is something happening here and I want to know what the fuck is going on. Anyways, so that's what we've got. Now, like you said, their programming is so strange. If anyone is watching, I suggest going to greatamericanliving.tv to get a sense of what we're talking about. But anyways, I just wanted to give you that little taste of what I'm putting together.
I'm very
and looking
interested.
Into
and because Candace Cameron Bure being like the new lead.
That's what I'm saying. So she's like famous Christian lady
Mama,
101,
the pivot,
right?
The pivot, yeah.
And now she's going to be leading a TV channel. What could possibly be going on there?
Radicalization comes in many forms.
So I was going to put this in the list of things we're going to ignore, but I do just want to say it for everyone. Roseanne Barr is getting a stand-up comedy special on Fox Nation.
I was about to say something really mean, but
Roseanne is set to star in a new comedy special on Fox Nation in early 2023. The hour-long special titled A Roseanne Comedy Special will be Fox Nation's first stand-up programming and Barr's first televised stand-up set since her comedy special Blonde and Bitchin' in 2006. Now, are you ready for this? Barr, who is also set to produce the special, will perform her, quote, signature comedic take on a variety of topics with no subject off limits. So she's going to be racist, she's going to be transphobic, and she's going to be
the first 3 minutes.
Fucking misogynistic.
Not this woke censorship, fake mob mentality here, honey. This is going to be all no PC. Like, the fuck they spit it as.
Dave Chappelle's gonna call her brave. Now,
can't
Jennifer
wait
Garner, we're gonna end on the
you're
real
gonna
news.
Skip one of the most important stories and updates I've
oh
had on the
you're
in years.
So right.
I cannot believe
you.
I
forgot that you added more to the notes. Okay,
well, the last thing I can cover quickly.
Grimes shared a photo this week, you guys.
Yeah, I was like, how do we
Graham shared a photo of her and Elon Musk's, quote, hardcore daughter, Exa.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Exa, like Exaflops.
Okay.
We'll get into it.
Yeah.
So Grimes, I love that they're like the singer, 34, old, recently shared a photo of daughter Exa Dark Side Rael, nicknamed Y. So did you know?
Oh, wait, that's the other daughter. I forgot they have multiple children
together.
No.
So did you ever think about how their kids are nicknamed X and Y? One's a girl, one's a boy. I think that's so sick.
Oh, that's amazing.
Okay.
That really aligns with
listening to music and playing with a copy of The Birth of Tragedy by Nietzsche.
I hate these people so much.
My daughter is dancing to techno over this copy of The Birth of Tragedy by
fucking
Nietzsche. What a queen, losers. She tweeted alongside the photo of a 9-month-old leaning on a bench in a black onesie with a pink bow headband and her blonde hair. Okay.
Of course that doesn't escape her.
The outfit the baby was in was giving very much like Christian tradcore.
Oh,
like,
absolutely. Like a Michele, like... No, like a Brookline.
Okay,
like,
quote, she loves Boris Brekhia. Oh my God, she's so hardcore. Ha ha. Now, the daughter is, I'm so sorry, Exa Dark Side Rael. And the son is XAEA12.
See, that's what I thought you were talking about originally.
So she told Vanity Fair, just for clarity, that Exa refers to the supercomputing term exaflops, while Dark represents the unknown. Are you ready for this? People fear it, but truly, it's the absence of photons. Dark matter is the beautiful mystery of our universe.
It bothers me too. Sorry, this is about to be really dumb, but it bothers me because dark matter is like a theory that's placeholding something we don't understand. So anyway, sorry. It's like, Mama, what is this?
Also,
again, edgelord behavior.
Just to be
cringe,
clear, she also did tell Vanity
behavior.
Fair that she wanted 3 or 4 kids with Elon Musk. So
why not?
I also want to just
why not?
Ask.
He already has 12 children with like 4 other people.
Before
sorry,
I get accused of anything improprietary, I'm not mom shaming. Well, kind
we can
of.
We can do that. It's fine. They're celebrities.
This photo, you know what the first thing I thought of it? The first thing I thought when I saw this photo?
Which photo?
The one of Grimes' kid.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the first thing I thought was when I saw this? Put yourself in my shoes.
I don't know.
Come inside my twisted mind.
You're probably questioning why this baby's on a staircase. Is that what it looks like? No. I don't know what they're actually
wearing. My first thought was, why are there no sheets on the bed?
Okay, I was wondering what that was. You can see the slats.
There's not even a mattress cover.
The birth of tragedy, Joan. It's the birth of tragedy.
Why are there no sheets on the bed? Like, I'm actually zooming in on it now. There's no sheets on the bed.
No, it's giving bare mattress. Like,
it's literally a bare mattress.
Raw dogging that mattress. Also, I'm shocked you didn't put in here the tweet that Grimes posted before that of them with like full head wrap, like just got out of surgery. Tweet is like, I did something crazy.
We're ignoring it. Well,
I'm just happy that they're finishing their album in the plastic surgery waiting room. That's like their words, like plastic surgery clinic. Perfected the last song in the plastic
also, surgery clinic. Also, she said something about like doing a girl group. And I just think that's ridiculous. Like is putting together a girl group. Yeah, the photo of the post-surgery aesthetic was a lot, and we won't be engaging.
Also, my favorite tweet regarding recently was, a version of capitalism that considers social good as a recognized form of profit sounds like a tweak that would greatly help our civilization.
Can you shut the fuck up?
Patagonia profits now fight climate crisis.
Shut the fuck
up. Wave emoji, Saturn emoji,
shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. I'm gonna fucking kill you. You better shut the fuck up. Okay. Read this Lana Del Rey shit.
Guillotine. Get to the guillotine. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lana Del Rey.
I'm literally about to stab you.
Getting my master's in Lana Del Reyisms. Yeah, NYU is now offering a course in Lana Del Rey. Let's read this fantastic copy from page 6.
No summertime sadness over here. Lana Del Rey's ingenious contribution to the pressing issues in the world through her melancholic music is finally set to be studied at New York University's Clive Davis Institute. It's launching a course dedicated entirely to studying the iconic singer-songwriter's connections to social movements, including Black Lives Matter, Me Too, and Time's Up, according to Variety. It's a 2-credit course.
I love how it's called.
You're getting paid pennies to take this class.
It's titled Topics in Recorded Music, Lana Del Rey. Yeah, again, 2 credits will only run this fall. It'll be run by quote-unquote acclaimed journalist and author Kathy Landoli. Don't know if you know anything about
them. Now, this is Ian Dolly. I don't know anything, but I do just want to ask that, like, this is not necessarily unique, right? Like, college courses offer like minor credit, like seminars.
Yeah, there's like experimental
on a bunch
classes
of weird
where they
shit
can do
all
shit
the time.
Like this yeah,
this
yeah.
is just funny because it's Lana Del Rey, right? Like, it's not necessarily notable for the fact that it's existing. I want to make that clear.
Oh, absolutely. And also, like, to the credit, it can be about how her views are extremely like inflammatory.
Person
or
of community college experience, I'm extremely well acquainted with astrology 2-credit classes and a history of witches.
Like, at SF State they had those. Did you ever get offered those experimental classes that they would do? Oh, maybe this was actually
yeah,
at community
I did
college.
One. I did do a class on the occult.
Oh, you did? That sounds great. Actually, I
loved
it.
Part of it was on Scientology. Which
I had one
was
where
interesting.
You could choose how many units you wanted it to be worth, which was immediately like, yes, give me all 4 units that I can maximize out of this.
Was it on dick and balls?
No, it's way cringier and worse, and I dropped out for reasons. It was a class about, like, Chomsky. But it was literally a way for me just to get easy credits because it was literally, like, 4 easy credits that would fill a requirement. I didn't have to even go to the class or read Chomsky.
I'm glad that you let that man rest in the grave.
Well, again, I didn't have to really go. But then SF State, halfway through the fucking semester, decided just to switch it to 1-unit max.
It says the course will explore the singer's relationship to feminism. It says over the course of 8 critically acclaimed albums, a 6-time Grammy-nominated artist has introduced a sad core, melancholic, and Baroque version of dream pop that in turn helped shift and reinvent the sound through her arresting visuals and thematic attention to mental health and the tales of toxic damaged love. Del Rey provided a new platform for all artists of all genders to create anti-pop works of substance that could live in a mainstream once categorized as bubblegum. I do think that is historical and also removes the payola and the work of record companies that created that image and the marketing pushes that were designed and exclusively around that to push clothing, music festivals, etc., as part of the greater 2000, early 2010s, like, wave of culture.
And also, like, this would just be a class on Tumblr, right? Like, we have to be honest here. Where did this really come from? Like, we have to describe, like, Tumblr and Tweety.
I just think that like, any class that's, like, she created all of this, but isn't going to talk about marketing or, like, record payola, I just think is, like, fine, whatever. Have fun with it. I do want to add on something light and hopeful.
Sure.
We have more Jennifer Garner news. She cooked another thing this week. Jennifer Garner super adapted this recipe from Ina Garten for her picky kids.
Yes.
On Friday, the 13 Going on 30 star treated her Instagram followers to a new episode of her informal and beloved cooking series where she makes Ina Garten's real meatballs. I am going back to an old favorite, the Adam Project, actress says while holding up a copy of the 2002 Barefoot Contessa family style cookbook, Where the Dish Originated. The mom of three explains that she adjusted Garten's original recipe to fit her children's picky palates. Some of her changes included grating the onion instead of chopping it and using ground turkey instead of veal.
I mean, she's an innovator.
Now, we have a few minutes before we're really done with this podcast. Do you want to tell the girls what I brought into your life this week?
This week?
This weekend-ish.
Oh, are you going to take credit for Real Girlfriends in Paris?
Yes, which I did introduce you to.
I literally was hearing everyone talk about it and was going to...
But sat down and watched the first three episodes.
You came to my house and said, put this on right now.
And what did you do?
And we watched all three episodes that were out at the time. And I just watched episode 4 last night.
No, is that not the best new Bravo show that has ever existed? Ever?
I say this with all seriousness. It is the future of Bravo and reality television. And if it's not, then it's not going to last.
Now, who's your favorite character on Real Girlfriends in Paris?
I mean, Victoria's the main character, so that's easy. Yoana is not really a main character, so I can't choose them.
She's done in Paris.
I'd have to say... Casey gives me something so chaotic that I'm obsessed. Like, I rewatched the scene to show Pierce.
You're a hideous individual.
And I rewatched that scene where it was Anya and Casey in front of, like, the Eiffel Tower, which is always in the backdrop, which is iconic. And it's that whole scene where Anya being, like, the absolutely passive-aggressive and belittling person that she is to go, you didn't get your visa? Like, what do you mean? Like, didn't you have the appointment? You can't move the appointment. And Casey is, like, literally having a panic attack that she can't confront at the moment. And it's like, well, I mean, I had an appointment, but, like, I just had to move it because, like, things got really crazy. And, like, I only have 3 months to be here. And, well, you know, I have to submit the paperwork, but I don't have the paperwork yet. And, you know, it's not really a visa. Because I've really applied it. I just showed her a passport.
I love Anya. I love her.
Oh, no. I mean, Anya is also the main character villain.
She is the new Sonya Morgan of Bravo. Like, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me, guys. So The Real Girlfriends in Paris is about a bunch of Americans that moved to Paris for no conceivable
reason.
It's
fully just Americans, let's be honest. Some of them have been there for decades,
but not really. American expats in Paris.
Yes.
Gen
Z and millennials.
It's built around this woman, Anya, who's in her 30s and is from New York, but says that in her soul, she was meant to be French.
She is the girl.
And so 10 years ago.
Been saying that since she was 5 years
old. 10 years ago, she moved to France to find a French husband, found one.
Mathieu.
And gives private tours at the Louvre. Now, just to, get,
500
just to get some
an
eyes
hour.
On this, just to get some eyes on this, I won't spoil the surprises that this show has to offer you, but this is a woman who... walks around Paris with croissants on her shoes because it makes her more French, according to her. She also feeds her dogs exclusively American hot dogs that she gets at a deli across the street from her apartment.
That is
hot
so
dogs
That's so
that
wrong.
She also shares not just with the dog, but her husband. The husband is not allowed to eat the hot dogs until the dog is finished eating the hot dog. And then the husband can have the rest of
the
whatever
leftovers.
The dog didn't want because they're not rich.
Pork
they're
scraps.
Poor, but they're living like they're rich because they met at the...
They met at the
Ritz-Carlton.
Like, bar or
and
whatever.
In her own words, I wish I could get married right now. but it's nobody's fault that we fell in love at the Ritz-Carlton. So I just have to wait until we could get married at the Ritz-Carlton.
I'm like, if we met at a dive bar, we'd get married at a dive bar.
But it's nobody's fault we fell in love at the Ritz-Carlton.
Like, man. Now,
other characters.
Also, man. The like 3 foot tall stalk of celery. Sorry. Rosemary. She's stuck in that turkey for the Thanksgiving dinner that they had to celebrate because they're all Americans.
Other characters. Other characters. Aja, who is a marketing employee at e-commerce website in the States. She's
a digital nomad, but as they call it.
Works until midnight American time just for the opportunity to get to live in Paris, but is worried her company is going to have her forcefully move back to the United States. And is like
on her laptop on Slack most of the show.
Yes.
And if she's not doing that, she is panicking about something else.
Literally at a bar, on a date, opening her Slack messages for her American company.
Or when she had like her aunt over and she's really like having this deep conversation about love and relationships. Like, one second, I have to and go she's like just clicking in the distance.
Then the last of the pores is
Victoria, because there's class drama
who
going on
is
here.
A regular suburban
she's from
girl
Dallas. Did you know that?
She's a regular suburban
she's
girl
from Texas.
And it was very hard for her growing up because Texas doesn't have fashion. And also everyone she knows wanted to get married. She wanted to go to Paris for fashion. So now she works for a ballerina company called Chloe Collette. We're not sure if it's a ballerina company, but they sell clothes that ballerinas wear, but also want to be a regular clothing brand. It's very unclear. She's making it in the cutthroat world of fashion.
We'll find out at Paris
she
Fashion
always
Week.
Has 47 necklaces on.
Like, okay, you're right. She does. It's heavy.
She has 47 necklaces on and eyeshadow that travels like 40 inches up her hairline. And now, those are the pores. The riches.
Oh, these two are wild.
We have Emily, whose father owns magazines and also a pair of, like, some Parisian fashion brands. She's like rich, rich. She grew up in New York, but all of her family is French and they all live in France now. So she moved back to France.
And is extremely
passive aggressive. She is the kind of rich kid that's like, my dad got me an internship at Sonia Riquel because he like owns the brand. And like, now I'm here and I like don't know what to do. We it's also have Casey. We don't know what Casey's parents do, but she did move to France on a tourist visa. And then
not
has
even.
Just been taking...
She just arrived with a passport and is yes. now applying for a tourist visa.
Yes, yes. But is like sad that she can't, but that she can't get a visa in like 3 weeks. And also doesn't have a job, but kind of has a job, but it's like under the table because she's not actually legally allowed to get paid.
And she's just playing her Switch with French children to convince them that
she's
teaching them
she's
English.
At the bar playing a Nintendo Switch playing and Mario asking Kart. Men on the street if they're excited for the new Spider-Man movie.
And then we have the most insane. Actually, this is my favorite character.
We have literally
concepts and ideas.
We have a woman like there has Margot? Never we have, there's never been a woman more primed to be the protagonist in a Jane Absolutely. Austen novel Absolutely. Than Margot. Okay, this is what I can say about Margot. She is incompetent. She is helpless.
Directionless.
She's rich. She's richer than God. She cannot open windows.
No, she's
by
not
herself.
Rich anymore because her dad's only paying her $2,000 a month instead of $10,000 a month, and that shift is really difficult.
She can't
for her.
Open windows. She can't open the fridge.
She can't use
turn
a
light
switch breaker.
Yeah, she's like sickly. And
she
like,
hasn't left her home yet. Got
she's
COVID.
She's the kind like, of woman you see in Victorian illustrations of like fumigating in the bathtub, where they open the window and lay in the bath with no water to like release the vapors. You know.
Someone who wants to literally, this is all you need to know. She wants to open a creative agency, yet has never worked a job or worked in
her
creative
dream
fields
like,
her entire
listen,
life.
Listen, her project right now.
Sorry,
she
her project.
It project
her idea.
Not jobs,
her
she's
concept.
Never, admittedly, has never had a job in her life.
Or a business plan.
She says that her dream is to open a creative agency to represent artists and creative people, but it's hard for her because she doesn't know any creative people or artists
or has ever run a business
what a creative agency is supposed to do. So
the way she's like, well, I feel better because like I have an idea that's like more realized now. And then Emily would be like, yeah, concepts are like really important.
Her
and
brother like, sat on her couch.
What?
Her brother sat on her couch and was like, you're just kind of lazy. And like, I think that you really aren't like good at anything. Like, no,
and when she mentions her dad is like, oh, own some newspapers, own some Warhols and Picassos, traded in like modern art. It's like, okay, so are you gonna out him? Like, what's happening? Like, no, okay. How rich is he?
So my favorite part. Tell me. So the first two episodes, admittedly, are slow because it's like a new world.
Honestly,
new characters.
I was so into it immediately.
We like need to like build it, right? The zaniness doesn't really begin until like episode three or four. In episode three, we have a coming undone moment over a misplaced internship. Congratulations. Then in episode four,
and some passive aggression starts to come out.
We have a drink poured on. We have a plate thrown.
That was iconic.
We have a speed dating messy gaze date gone awry.
Weird
heterosexual
people.
Cheating and infidelity. Yep. We have screaming in French and English.
Instagram DMs, Twitter DMs, many DMs.
When Yoann walked away from that dinner with Victoria, and under his breath, caught by the camera, says, "She is done in Paris."
Okay, and then did you see Yoann's Instagram being like, "Love you so much, Victoria. We make great television. I'm so we can be raw and vulnerable together on
Victoria
TV."
Victoria pours a drink on this man.
Throws like a Cosmo, which is the sugariest, crappiest drink.
Breaks a plate in a random Parisian cafe in the middle of the
day.
And then
throws French fries on his
fur coat. And then says, she storms out of the restaurant, forgets her things, comes back.
And then Yoann's in the bathroom cleaning up.
Is standing in front of like a bunch of strangers
who
don't
look
speak
like
English,
they want to leave.
And then says in full American main character syndrome seriousness, "I'm so sorry for the display, you guys. I hope you all have a great night in Paris.
Oh my God.
Thank you very much." And then
the like men you could see just like staring at their phone or like looking around as she yells at them. Like when somebody on the street is acting really crazy and you're like, "I can't acknowledge this because it will literally, we will get involved in something." Oh my God, the energy was impeccable.
No,
acting. And then just for her to come out and call her friends and be like, "I fucked up, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's happening."
The scene of the next episode where Chloe Collette is in the... Okay, now the other thing we didn't talk about is Chloe Collette herself. So Chloe Collette is also the Lisa Vanderpump of this show in that I need 47 angles on her life. So
follow her
one
home,
of the stages of the show is the Chloe Collette design studio where Victoria works.
Yes.
And it's like the perfect amount of like workplace drama tension.
Absolutely.
Where it's like they're designing, they're having meetings, people are showing up late to meetings.
They're holding textures and fabrics. There's a big wall of like pins and papers.
And they're saying things under their breath.
They're having
like,
meetings and photo
he has
shoots.
No respect for the design process. He's showing up late to every meeting. I had to cast myself. Like people walking angrily.
Do we have
on
the models?
Phone.
Where are the models?
It's like very much like Diet Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
The Devil Wears Diet Prada. Like. Sorry, I can't yell too much in your apartment. We're gonna get the neighbors in trouble, but that is. Exactly what it is.
Oh God. No, I'm obsessed. Like the spinoff can already happen with Chloe Collette. Like I'd absolutely watch like 10 hours of that right now. Like,
so our recommendation is to go watch that show immediately.
It's so good.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen on television, and I need you all to go watch it, talk about it, and tell everyone you know to watch it, because we can't have it be a one season wonder.
And it's not a Peacock original or anything like that either. No. It's like on Bravo. You have to like get a Peacock later. It's a weird thing, but find a way to watch it.
Get it so now. Good. It's the best TV show I've ever watched.
And I won't lie, watch what Crappens' coverage of it makes it so much funnier. They will do like literally every second is 2 seconds of commentary. So it's like 2 hours talking about one episode and the accents that they make. Because the thing is, they said this on the Rosh Crappens too. The way the French must despise these people almost makes it sweeter. Like it makes the food tastier because like you know they are so upset that this show is happening and these idiots are running around town saying the most insane things. Like episode one, she literally pulls out a bottle of ranch for their mozzarella sticks and french fries. No. Which I'm like, how'd you even get mozzarella sticks and french fries at a restaurant?
We're gonna end the episode on this. Casey, the one who's like on
again,
a visa,
my fave because chaos,
says this. They're talking about being bisexual girl power women in Paris making it in the world. Casey says, "Guys, excuse me, I have to go get something." Leaves the table for like a solid 3 minutes. They continue talking about being bisexual girl boss feminists in Paris. They're eating fries.
Having it all.
Freedom fries, not French fries, remember.
The way
they're American.
Actually said that.
And no, listen. Casey comes back and the camera hides what Casey's holding because they know that the reveal is weirder and worse and more dramatic and shocking than anything you could have expected. She puts a bottle.
She slams it like it's a fucking beer about to be chugged.
No, guys. I cannot stress you enough. It is like one of those like jumbo XL bottles that you get at Costco.
Which I have in my fridge
Hidden
right
Valley
now. And yes,
Ranch.
It is exactly that one.
Of Hidden Valley Ranch.
Yep.
To pour on the fries. and says in complete seriousness to the camera, I always have a bottle of ranch on me because it makes me feel closer to home. And then in the confessional, Victoria says, my expat friends are so close to me. They're like my second family because they know that the one thing I need most when I'm missing home is ranch.
They mentioned like solidarity even like after that. And I was just like,
this is our whoa, chosen family. Whoa. Girls who dip ranch in Paris together, stay together.
Why move to another country if you can't talk about America the whole time? While still telling everyone in America that you're French.
But also, this is the most important thing. We missed it.
What?
This show is now the most powerful source of bisexual chaos on television. And for that, I think it deserves 47 Emmys.
Absolutely.
Well, that's all we've got for you guys today.
That's all we got now.
You can expect our Great American Thing sometime this Christmas season. I will be looking into that, planning it. Like I said, we want to make the TikTok plastic surgery episode Patreon exclusive as a treat to all of you for October. So look out for that. I am going to start putting together some research on that. So you might hear me drop in some hints about it here or there on the main feed and also on our Patreon feed. Mm-hmm. Once again, the support on Patreon is incredible and has completely saved my life the last few months and helps us make this show. So your continued support means everything to us. We are also probably going to start selecting random names from our higher tiers to thank at the end of our main episodes. And so I will be sending out a DM through Patreon to say, please either let us know or opt out or change your name on Patreon to something that you won't want to be identified as. We'll be using just first names, but just in case if that's something someone is like very against having their first name read aloud at the end of the episode, just let us know on Patreon when I send that DM out. Otherwise, just like as a special shout out to you guys each episode, we'll probably select from random a list of names and just use it as a way to thank you all personally. Besides that, I've got nothing else for you, but look forward to our Minions episode this weekend. I'm very excited about that. It's the final installment of the first arc, so
it's like One Piece.
It's the prequel saga, and then we're going to get the sequels later on. But Rian Johnson will not be canceled by Twitter for the sequels this time, so you have that to look forward to.
Amazing stuff.
You're like, I'm nodding along like I understand what that means.
Three, two, one.
Hi, my name is Victoria, and there's nothing that makes me feel more at home than a bottle of ranch dressing. Just imagine walking around Paris, and it's a trail of Anya's croissant crumbs that she's just strewn about.
And then drops of ranch next to it. Following Jesus' footsteps.
She's leaking. She's ranching.
Come on, if you know the words, let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture.
Here I go.